Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
What's up, Derek? Quick announcement. Going forward, the show is going to be a little bit different. Case Files may look a little different. There'll be more interviews. We're just changing it up a little bit after 9 years of podcasting. We're going to have one deep dive case file a month, one or two regular case files, one or two interviews, and maybe a little bonus thrown in on top on the main feed. We took a week off this week to plan some stuff, plan some new D&D. So what we have for you today is a little ATT Confidential. This is a patron-only exclusive, or has been. So if you like this little episode, it's like a short case file. There's 40 or 50 of these episodes on our Patreon. So go to alientheorist.com, hit that support tab, sign up on Patreon, and enjoy a whole bunch of bonus content. Hell yeah, we appreciate it. Enjoy.
Welcome to an amazing, spectacular, special, incredible episode of ATT Confidential. I'm Braden.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Andrew.
Have you guys watched any of the Dahmer series on Netflix?
Nope.
No? It's pretty interesting.
Why? What do you mean? Like you're learning some new stuff that you didn't know before?
Yeah. I didn't realize how many times he almost got caught.
You know what? Actually, I haven't seen it yet, but I also I didn't realize that he was it was fucking Michael Scott's nephew. I had no clue. Too many fucking spankings. Fucked him up.
I'll tell you, if I was Jeffrey Dahmer, I wouldn't have killed all those people. It's a bad move.
Yeah, I agree. It's pretty fucked up.
Yeah. This ATT Confidential. We're talking the Gateshead or Gateshead? Gateshead Gray. And you know, right off the top, because it's confidential over a case file, we can do whatever the fuck we want. I'm not 100% convinced that this 5-year-old just didn't witness his uncle murder someone. Right, that's what he witnessed, and his uncle said, "Yeah, it was an alien. I killed an alien. It's a guy." I was like, "He may have killed a man." That's what may have transpired in this tale, is that he was a witness to a murder.
Yeah, they bleed just like us.
and he's just been big snitching all this time. His story's never changed to his uncle's dismay. But you know, again, it's we've had a couple episodes with where the story straight xenocide, and this one is no different. We head back across the pond yet again.
So we never left.
We didn't leave. We stayed across the pond.
No, we're still there. Yeah,
Yeah, so this story comes from one Robert Hall from the Bencham area of Gateshead, which is within Tyneside in northern England. Now, at the time, Robert, 1940, sometime in the spring or summertime, I'm not sure exact month, he was five.
When he was 5 years old. Just quick question, Dan, how much do you remember from when you were five?
None, zero.
Can you name an event or anything for me and that was specifically when you're like, oh, I'm five. Nope. I was five.
I remember my fifth birthday. Yes, I got a turtle van for my fifth birthday. And I remember almost catching my stepdad, like bring it home. And he was like running away from me, like trying to hide it. And I was kind of chasing him, trying to see what it was. I distinctly remember that. That's it.
Though, I can't think of... So it's five. When you're five... Are you in kindergarten or is it like the next year going into kindergarten?
I'm pretty sure that's kindergarten.
Okay, so I have...
But I mean, like, listen, let's get this...
Zero recognition.
Yeah, but let's get this straight.
I was never abducted.
You were shitting your pants a couple years ago. Yeah. Right? Still, every once in a while, you know, the odd one.
Yeah. Some things never change.
Right? Like, this is fucking 5 years old. Like, I had a really tough time getting past this part of the fucking story.
When I read it, it was like five. He's like, and his story. But the crazy thing is, his stories never change. Everyone's been like, you've been telling this story since you got him 5 years old.
Well, maybe these UFOs unlock something in his brain.
Maybe. It's in, again, the 5 year old thing. Well, like, think, and maybe me and Dan are the outliers, and Andrew having one core memory is rare, but like if you're listening to this and you remember a lot of shit from when you're five, let us know because maybe we're completely wrong.
Yeah, I mean, some people have more developed hippocampuses.
Someone in the chat said I'm not bald. And the problem is I got the bad lights on.
Yeah, right. You absolutely are bald. You put on your fucking
turns them off.
Your hairpiece lights. right? Yeah, but
it's
like
a choice.
Some people have like choice people. Further develop hippocampus, right? And they can remember shit like that. And a lot of us who, especially those of us who've had, you know, a little CT sprinkled in from time to time, those memories are gone, man. Every hit, they just fucking followed near.
Yeah. File corrupted.
Yeah, absolutely.
So at the time, five-year-old Robert was apparently hanging out with a friend of his, a childhood friend. And what was happening about that time is that he remembers pretty clearly that day that there was a column of soldiers that were marching through town. So this is 1940, you know, or balls deep in World War II. Column of soldiers are walking through.
Oh, yeah. Is there like, is 1940 the skies above England or like, it's terrifying?
Well, England got fucking attacked.
Yeah, like, murdered. Yeah.
London was on fire for a good long time.
Yeah, right.
So at this time, Robert and his friend were watching these soldiers walk by. And so he, to his recollection, he kind of got tired and him and his friend were feeling hungry. So they decided to kind of leave and go back home. And so on the way back home, they kind of walked down a back alley into how he described it is like down a side alley from like the main avenue where the soldiers were marching to like the back.
Diagon alley. Diagon alley.
And onto one of the back alleys that kind of went through the houses there. And when he said that they came through there, like, I guess they were kind of racing on their way home as, you know, as five-year-olds are wont to do.
They're not moving very fast. They're five.
Come on.
Yeah. The second thing is like, this surprised me. I'm like, man, the 40s were a wild time because even with war and like bombs and shit going off, they just didn't give a shit what the kids were doing because there's no way if I was in a city, I would be unattended.
Yeah, no shit. What do you call them? Like turnkey kids or something like that?
Latchkey kids.
Latchkey, that's right. In other words, I ain't got time for your bullshit. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Well, latchkey kids are like mostly like kids who are left at home while their parents are at work. And they just like lock the door and don't let anybody in, which unfortunately is still a case. There's a lot of kids who are still.
Yeah, like I was a latchkey kid for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, me too. Yeah, oh, me too. Get home, go inside, lock the door.
Yeah. So on their way home.
We'll be home next Tuesday.
Here's a sack of food. This is dog food. Eat it. Yeah. You have to eat it. You don't have to like it.
Calories are calories, man. Yeah.
So the pair of kids were running on their way home, and then what they encountered, strangely, to Robert's surprise, was he described this type of like clear haze, and he describes it as kind of like the heat haze that you would see above a fire, like when the fire's kind of
or like a hot car engine,
right.
Or,
yeah, like the sizzle, right? Like the yeah, like that little distortion,
right? The air distortion, yeah, due to the heat. And he said he saw this thing, and when they reached it, it had a definite like depth to it. And then when they reached it, they said they walked through, and all of a sudden, behind this shade was these, he said he counted up like around 18 to 19 unusual and to him terrifying looking creatures surrounding a
and creatures. This was a regular monster mash.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, that's definitely a way to describe it. Surrounding this large egg-shaped craft that in
it was
itself...
The who's who.
Pretty much.
The who's who of the cryptid world.
It was a regular cryptid crush-a-thon, like, up in this. It was. He said that...
It wasn't just the Germans. It's a bunch of weird-looking fucking Nazis.
Maybe we're not really sure. So, when
and
asked
then that haze is just a bunch of mustard gas getting a little fucked up, coming through there, cutting through,
then he'd be dead.
It sounds like he saw all of fucking, oh, why can't I think of his name now? What's the red demon with the big fist? Why can't I think
Hellboy.
Of his name? Why
is it Hellboy?
Hellboy. It's like he ran into Hellboy's entourage here.
So when he goes on to describe these creatures of what he saw, he said the majority of them were about 4 feet tall and resembled what you would normally describe as today the archetypal gray. You know, these 4 foot large,
could have been Irish,
bulbous headed. Well, don't talk about the Irish.
I have lots of family that look like that. I'm one of them. 4 foot tall with a bulbous head. That's me.
True. Andrew's dad
has a bulbous head.
Andrew's dad in bad lighting, you would say, is a small guy.
Absolutely. Never, no, it's 100%. The truth.
You put in some bad light, you'd be like, look at that guy. Big ass head, big beady eyes.
Yeah, that's what I mean, man. Like, I'm not lying.
Lanky, like super lanky.
Guy's pretty jacked, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, 100%.
So, not only were they.
He's the rare jacked gray.
Not only were these shorter entities in attendance at this monster mash, you also had what apparently seemed to be, he described the closest thing that he could kind of compare it to was a Bigfoot, this 7 foot tall, hairy creature.
Got grays and Bigfoots standing, hanging out?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's not it. What? That's not all.
And also among these, singular among them, there's only one of these guys, it seemed, that there was another creature or an entity that resembled just almost like a human, handsome human blonde male.
So like a Nordic.
Almost.
Yeah.
Except that he said that this thing was wearing some type of like robe or long coat or something. And he said that it seemed to be covering a pretty thin body, but also bat wings.
Oh, Jesus. So a vampire.
How do you sell?
Are we sure this isn't the fucking Vindicators?
Like, fuck. Dude, when I read this, I was like 100% Zell.
Yeah, for sure.
This is like young Zell. Like everyone's handsome, his little bat wings out, long hair. 100%.
Now, the long-haired alien, as Robert recalls, approached him and told him pretty much like in perfect English, asked him that if they were going to be able to examine him. He said perfect unaccented English, which I find is kind of strange because I don't – like I watched a couple interviews with Robert Hall and – like he speaks English, like
yeah. Oi, then these fucking aliens grab me, eh?
Oi, little boy. I was like, little boy, can I have a peek at you?
Like, I'm what does perfect unaccented?
Okay, so
English
we've got a random.
Like
so what you're saying is we have a random group of cryptids and grays that are also pedos. Intergalactic pedos. This is awful.
Yeah.
The handsome blonde one brought
the leader of the pedos.
Brought Robert back into the capsule that was there floating in the midst of all of these creatures. And When he took him inside there, Robert says that he remembers him. They performed some type of procedure, like several procedures on him. He doesn't go into a lot of detail, except for one that he talks about that they... He says they extracted some type of sample from the back of his neck. And while they were doing it, he says that he remembers that one of the creatures was like telling him, like, if you move while we're performing this feature, this procedure, you will be killed instantly.
Well, maybe they're extracting some type of like cerebrospinal fluid. And it could kill him or paralyze him, right?
Yeah. Or this was such a traumatizing experience for a five-year-old that the conversation was really, if you move or struggle, I will kill you instantly.
Oh, God. It's not good.
So after they finished the procedure, Robert says that they put some kind of jelly-like substance where they had taken the blood from.
I mean...
Well, they took it from the back of his head.
Yeah. Sure. So he says.
So then, according to Robert, there were like a number of other children also kind of lined up along the walls or something like that. There were several other children, including the boy that he had been hanging around with.
Pedos.
Some of them, he said he recalls, like, at least the girls were running. He says that they were in an interview. He talks about there were some girls who were also there in the alley witnessing this, and they ran off in hysterics, like, and screaming, yelling.
Yeah.
And
sounds like a logical reaction.
Yeah, you come around the corner, you got a fucking monster mash going on. I'm not sticking around. Even now, I'm running.
So at the time, Robert, you know, and pretty much fearful at this point, was not too motivated to leave at this point. He's too scared to leave until the boy that he's with kind of told him, like, we're going to make a break for it. And we need to go now. And they started to run. And Robert says that the large Bigfoot creature grabbed his friend and managed to grab him and take hold of his arm. And Robert's friend said, yelled at Robert to continue running, run. And Robert ran. And so as he leaves the back alley and he heads back towards the main avenue, quick thinking enough, he runs out there to get a soldier from the column of
these
soldiers.
These are 5 year olds. Like, save yourself. Can you imagine a 5 year old saving that?
He's telling him to run.
Have you ever talked to a 5 year old?
Like, just pure screaming and get my mom and my dad now. Why me?
Robert says that he ran out to fetch a soldier from this the column of soldiers that are going by to get assistance for his friend that was being captured by and
getting molested,
like, possibly taken away by these
by Bigfoot.
And so Robert's recollection is that he ran into first like a sergeant from the army, who told another of his subordinates to go with Robert back with him because the kid was obviously in hysterics. He was in hysterics, and he's like, he's crying and he's saying that he needs to help his friend and something's going to take him. And so the sergeant, at first kind of disbelieving, but just says, hey, go with him, make him feel big. Go down there, whatever. They think the kids are just playing. And so Robert says that he leads the soldier down to where back into the back alley where he had last seen his friend, and that the ship is there lifting off into the air as they round the corner. And this puts the soldier into automatic fight mode, where he said that, he was so... he was so in fear or something shocked at that point, he did only probably by reflex, he withdrew his weapon and fired on the craft. And then Robert says that he recalls the craft just
lifting
off. Can you
blame the guy, though? It's fucking wartime. You see anything weird? Yeah. Like, the guy's probably so just fucking high strung at this point in time. Like, whatever it is, just blast it. Fucking shoot it.
So, and so the last thing that they see is this craft lifting off into the air. Now, after this and the days that followed, the encounter wasn't really end, since we already talked about it, since there's still more to the story. For the next couple days, Robert reported feeling kind of ill for this. He was saying that his eyes watered for like straight 2 days.
Yeah, it's called depression because you just got molested, man. Like, that's horrifying, dude.
Those are tears. Those watery eyes, it's called crying. Yes, that's what we call crying.
Awful for these children.
He also reported that he developed some type of like triangular mark like on his face, where one of the procedures or something had been taken, but he said it went away. It didn't go away until he turned 13. And then it blip. But 3 days after the incident, Robert says that he was kind of getting back into their normal routine of just being a kid, and his father, you know, he had told his parents about what had happened, but they had obviously, they just wrote it off as, you know, a 5-year-old imagination, you know, just stop talking about it. Whatever, you're making up your games. Okay. Whatever. So, you know, 3 days after the fact, they're sending Robert off to fetch his father's morning newspaper in the shop, like around the corner. And so Robert says that he approached usually the back alley where he normally goes.
Imagine sending just these kids are 5 and just like, yeah, head out. Like, I mean, this is the 40s. So, you know,
it's
5
like a couple blocks. It's not even like that far.
I guess in the 40s, 8. 5 is like middle aged anyways.
I mean, older. How old's Niall now? 3?
Yeah, dude. And you couldn't fuck. Dude, there's nothing that guy's going to do. Nothing. Like,
could you imagine? Do you think he has a capability within 2 years to then be able to do complex tasks?
Dude, I just finally, like, literally, just like within days, have finally taught him, like, when he crushes his snacks, like his like squishes and all that, he'll just pound them, then he just fucking hucks them, like just dirts them. And I'm like, finally, I was like, you know, you got to put that shit in the garbage, man. And it finally clicked. Finally. So now he'll like get up and use the garbage. And he doesn't shoot.
Was he shooting for it like Kobe style?
Yeah, like fade away. It just like dirt.
Oh, and then he would just leave it.
Yeah, he didn't give a fuck.
He clean it up.
He just didn't.
He was trying to get your rebounds up, buddy.
Yeah, apparently, yeah. I don't know. But like, I just, like, it finally clicked to him that it's like, oh, it's like so much better not to shit in my pants. Like, it's finally clicked. Good. Like that, you know, like, yeah. I don't understand how in 2 years he could be able to be like, all right, boy, like fucking go get my paper. He'll never come back. Ever. Like, fuck.
Just lost. Yeah. In the city.
Yeah. Right? Fuck that.
Oh, yeah. Go play down the back alleys.
Full of fucking intergalactic pedos. Like, this is not safe times. During a war. Like, fuck. Yeah. Like, fuck, man.
The German bombs don't get you, the intergalactic pedos will.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Yeah. So as Robert is approaching the corner shop coming through the one of the back alleys, he says that he remembers at this point that a gray appeared behind him, yards behind him, and he sprinted as soon as he saw it because he recognized this creature from his experience just a few days before.
Have we heard of gray sprinting at people before?
Well, he says that thing is fast.
Well, the thing about that, like, remember, that's like remember that movie with the zombies started running? And you're like, this is way scarier. Yeah. This is way worse.
Yeah. Those little bodies, right? They're light.
I mean, it's little like body legless. Versus little body, though. They're probably both not that fast.
Yeah. From an outsider, it's just like two toddlers running. You're like, what the fuck? You know what, though, is even more terrifying, though, for me? Because, like, say if you were in the woods and then you just see a little, like, toddler-sized gray running at you, like, with, like, the... I'd be even more terrified at the toddler, like, running.
Yeah, I'd fucking punt it, though, so far. Well, yeah. I'd Pat McAfee that fucking thing.
Or you could do as Rob's Uncle Ernie does, because his Uncle Ernie apparently hears the commotion, hears his nephew is in distress as he's fleeing this gray. Uncle Ernie steps out from the corner with his trusty coal shovel and swings for the fences.
Uncle
and
Ern!
Fucking...
Yeah. Ernest saves Robbie, baby.
I'm pretty little sure did this it wasn't guy, just a,
hey, like, was, little did this guy know he was related to one of the mystery men. Hey, the fucking shoveler comes out of nowhere and dusts this little gray guy
away.
Apparently, hit him, caved the alien's head.
I think it was multiple swings. Like, even when it went down, yeah. Like he kept hitting it. Like,
listen, is there a more efficient killing tool? Think about it.
Then a shovel?
Yeah, you murder
a paddle,
it.
Yep. A good old paddle. Oh,
you
yeah,
murder then it, then you, no, you no, fucking yes. Dig a hole and you get rid of it.
Dig the hole right there. Well, I mean,
it's useful.
Yeah, right? It's like, it's fucking perfect.
It's a very utility. Yeah. I mean,
Bingo, bango, bongo. Body's gonzo, buddy.
Yeah.
So the...
Bingo, bango, bongo. Body's gonzo?
Yeah.
Oh, God. That's great. I'm going to make that a shirt with just a hand with a shovel.
Fuck yeah.
So Uncle Ernie dispatches.
Did you just make
this.
That up?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you just make that up? Bingo, bango, bongo, body's gonzo.
Yep.
I like that. Big shovel, just like. Oh.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Over ahead.
Fuck yeah.
That's great.
So the alien is dispatched, Uncle Ernie's standing over this creature, and it has no clue what it is. I don't think he actually realizes that he is...
Well, he can't tell anymore because he just smashed its head in.
Right. He has no idea what it is, and Rob said that Uncle Ernie's kind of standing over this thing, and he said he kind of looks at the boy, and he says, I've never seen anything like this. And he's like,
Uncle Ernie's standing over this thing, telling this thing to keep the change. Like, what the fuck's going on here?
Welcome to Earth.
So Rob's Uncle Ernie immediately pretty much sends Rob to go find a police sergeant that he knows that he's familiar with, Sergeant Brooks. And so he tells him where to find him. He says he's probably getting off of duty right about now, so go run down there and go get him. So Rob's Uncle Ernie and this Sergeant Brooks, after he arrives, also remarking upon this strange looking body that is just mashed with its mashed cranium all over the fucking alley. He's never seen anything like it. Rob says that he remembers Sergeant Brooks like crossing himself religiously, like over and over and over again.
Looks like a malnourished child.
Apparently the two men then proceeded to place the dead alien's corpse into a coal sack, and then their idea was to take it to a nearby coal yard that wasn't far away. There was behind another building, there was a place for storing coal, and they were going to kind of put it there until they decided what to do with it. And it didn't take long, because according to Rob, about 20 minutes later, as his estimate as a 5-year-old kid, a car arrived, and this car would then take the alien's body for to another place to be stored until they could figure out what to do with it. And apparently that location was a nearby St. Cuthbert's Church. And he said that they took it. I'm not sure if he was in the car, because he goes in a pretty good description about like where exactly they put it. And this church is about half a mile away from where they had dispatched the creature. And it is like, I watched one of the videos of like where he said that it was, and so it was just church. And he said like they took it down into the basement of the church. Like there was a stairs behind the building, go down into it and down pretty much underneath the floorboards of the church. And it's like, that's where they put the body, where it remained for about 3 months, according to Rob. And then
what? They resurrected it? Fuck.
He came back.
So there would be other events that Rob went to describe, about this entire.
Again, before we get to this next part, I just want to remind everyone listening, he's 5 at this point.
Yeah, man. Is this a...
Because...
Oh, go ahead, Britton, sorry.
The next bit of story that Robert says is that he was the Royal, the Air Force officials came by.
Yeah.
So some men in black heavies.
That's what I was just going to bring up.
They roll up to his house, right? And they're like, hey, Richard, Robert's father, like, we need to have a word with your boy.
Yeah, he was in our flower beds.
Right, they sit him down. Right, they go, "Hey, little Robbie, how are you? You good? You need a juice or anything? You good? How you been, little guy? If you ever tell anyone about what you saw, we're gonna fucking kill you. You understand that, Robbie? We are gonna fucking die. We're gonna kill you.
We're gonna kill your mom. We're gonna kill your dad.
Yeah, everyone's gonna die.
Just fucking.
If you tell anyone,
fucking fist cocked.
You little bitch.
Ooh, did you piss your pants? Yeah, that's what I thought.
Remembers being threatened.
We got two shovels out in the car right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're playing good cop, bad cop. The one guy's like, pacing in the background, just lunging at him. I've had enough of this. Throwing everything off the desk, all his toys off the table.
Oh, just snapping his Tonka trucks.
Yeah, are you listening?
He's slowly tearing his teddy bear apart, like in the background, just like twisting its head off.
Yeah. that scene in fucking The Other Guys where they're supposed to be good cop, bad cop. And Will Ferrell comes in playing bad cop too, and starts screaming and throws him up. That's one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah,
I fucking cry every time.
That scene was based off these Air Force officials playing bad cop to 5-year old Robert.
I love it. And so according to Robert, yes, he was visited by some officials that he believes were Air Force. They wore some type of uniform with ribbons on it, as he can recall. And that, yes, that they threatened to, by his account, they threatened to murder him, to kill him, if he told, they were threatening a 5-year-old kid with death if he told anybody about the events that happened in the last couple of days. So Robert mostly, you know, understandably, as a, you know, no one seemed to really believe him about what his experience was.
You mean nobody's believing a 5-year-old whose basic entire life is imagination?
Well, I mean, like, the funny thing is that, so yeah, he was threatened with murder, apparently, if he told anybody. But also, he was apparently widely ridiculed for the story because he told a lot of people and they made fun of him for telling the story, according to him. So he didn't want to tell the story anymore. So for years, he keeps this entire traumatic event locked up. And then just, you know, a couple years, not a couple years, but like, you know, 2000s, maybe, he comes out and started talking to a couple of UFO researchers that had come into the town to talk about this. Like one or two were giving of the local UFO investigatory organizations.
Investigatory journalists.
that were out there and were giving lectures about UFOs and aliens and alien contact. And, you know, he was saying that he approached at least one of them. Was it Richard Hall? No.
Yeah, Richard Hall, Richard, no relation.
Well, you're still there.
Dick Hall.
Because you're black. Do you know that?
What?
You're gone. Dude, you went fucking, you're gone. Stream's gone. You're black. Then you're back.
Oh, how long was that for?
A while. It was wild. Dan was going. I didn't want to interrupt anything.
That's fine. He came out with this story, and you know, a couple of UFO investigators kind of followed up on it, trying to find at least some people to corroborate this story, this fantastic story of Roberts. And they couldn't locate the friend that he was with, because that would have been a really good source. That would have been a really good nail in the coffin for this entire story to kind of this. And I don't
nail in the coal sack. You mean?
Yeah. as it were. And he's not really sure who the kid was either, because I was watching the interview. He didn't know his name. I don't think they were exactly friends. They were like acquaintances. I'm not exactly sure.
He can remember every fucking aspect except his friend's name.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I watched one documentary with the Richard D. Hall, like it was about 25 minutes, and like they went to go look for this person. Like that would have been like 2 or 3 years older probably than Robert was at the time. And they said they tried to locate it. He was pretty sure, Robert was pretty sure that he said that he remembered where the kid lived. And they kind of went there and they asked around and, you know, talked to the residents that lived in the area. And Richard Hall was pretty sure that he had had the name of the person, but apparently they had already passed away like in the last couple of years before they did the investigation.
He did corroborate that there was a Sergeant Brooks was a police sergeant at the time.
Yeah, but that's, so that he could have just known a fucking police sergeant. Use the name.
Yeah.
And maybe. So the other person that you definitely would want to talk to is Uncle Ernie, because Uncle Ernie fucking killed that alien. So apparently they did try to confirm the story with Uncle Ernie, but I think Ernie apparently was at the time he was in pretty much an old folks home or hospice or something like that. Like he was, but he was in the pretty like late stages of dementia.
Well, if this is the 2000s, he would have been elderly.
He was really, really old. probably would be at least like 10 years older. I mean, it might have been more than that, but like, you know.
He could have been one of those young, cool uncles.
That's what I'm saying. It could have been something like that.
He's got one of those young, cool uncles.
But I believe that they did try to contact Ernie and try to confirm the story, but I don't think he was lucid enough to really from the reports.
So he's like Uncle Jesse, right?
Pretty much. Yeah, he just, I mean, but he couldn't Jesse. Talk. He couldn't talk at all.
At this time, yeah. Even yeah. Uncle Jesse got old. Everybody gets old. I feel bad. I feel terrible because I feel like this is some like elaborate like tale that's been concocted to mask some serious childhood trauma. Like,
yeah.
I just it, feel and, awful.
And again,
about it.
It's funny because.
It's not funny at all. It's horrifying.
No, it is. But the thing for me is when I, right away when I heard this story, and again, normally I'm all in these stories, but very quickly when I read into this story, there's issues that pop up for me. So I'm just going to paint a different picture that I think could possibly be what the narrative is. World War II England, it's a little bit lawless, a little bit because, right, it's fucking... They're getting just absolutely savaged by war, right? They're sending kids and stuff out to the countryside to be safe. Little Robbie and his buddy, either they, I just think, like we kind of joked about earlier, is I think they were molested. Oh, I think someone grabbed them, they were molested. It was traumatized, kind of blocked it out, right? Then a couple days later, these people that molested him see him again, right? And maybe he told his family what happened, right? And his family was like, holy, this is kind of fucked up. And one of these guys tries to grab Robbie again, and his uncle murders him. Just straight up murders him. Good. Murders this person who grabbed his kid or grabbed his nephew. And then they call a buddy who they know, and they're like, yeah, this is a guy who's molesting. And he's like, oh my God, does the Hail Mary? Because he's like, Jesus, what are we going to do here? You got a body.
He made sure it's like, and that kind of lines up, I would say, that kind of lines up because the Uncle Ernie knew when that guy was going to be off duty. Like, he's like, he's off duty, so go get him.
Yeah,
I feel like back then though too. Even if you were on duty, and like, let's
just
get.
But it's. I mean, it's still. It's just like that pretty clear thinking to be like, yeah, just get him. He's off duty. Yeah,
I murdered this person.
It's like, well, I'm off duty, so I'm not.
Sergeant Brooks is that guy you call when you fucking. Everybody's got a few.
Well, he's like, yeah, this guy was touching, and then maybe they even told Jimmy, like, oh no, that wasn't a person, like it was an alien. Oh, he was gonna get you. It's all good. And then he just like through his child mind of like kind of remembering these things has constructed this story.
Absolutely.
Because like if you look at the timeline of when this happened, the shit he's talking about, a lot of like you would have to write him down as one of the first people to describe. A great alien, if that's the case.
Yeah, this is 1940. Right? Like, it predates most reports of aliens. Even I mean, it predates Roswell, all that.
Like Bigfoot. Dude. Like how much talks of Bigfoot was Bigfoot there in England?
Bigfoot didn't even turn up until 1970.
I will say though, right? Gateshead has had a shit ton of UFO activity on record. Like tons. Oh. It's like a fucking hotspot. That's the only thing I can think of to.
Well, and I'm not saying that the tale, as it said, isn't what happened. I'm just saying that my mind, very quickly, if my mind jumps to something like a logical where I go, it's probably this, that's usually what I go with because I'm just like, it doesn't make sense for a 5-year-old to have this kind of recall.
Yeah, no.
It doesn't. Right. From my personal experience of being 5 at one point and not remembering any of it, right? Like it's just, and he's, you know, wasn't labeled as any savant.
It's impressive
to
me that you don't, because it's like you still have the same brain capacity as a 5-year-old. So it's.
Oh, yeah. You know, right? Like, but that's part of the reason, right? Yeah. There's only so much
there's
that can fit
so
in.
There's so much room in there. Stuck way too many crayons up your fucking nose and ears and shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's every orifice.
Every orifice.
He's more crayon than man.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you got some fucking traumatic stories you're trying to fucking...
Brayden. Hey, Brayden. Was that a crayon, buddy? Person. He wasn't the only person visited by Bigfoot.
Oh, fuck, man.
Kidding.
Awful.
But that's where my brain jumps to, is that something more nefarious happened.
Way more nefarious.
And this is his brain protecting himself from the trauma.
Happens, man.
Right?
It happens.
We've seen cases like that where people do that. They like
it's a coping mechanism.
Completely, Yeah, exactly. And so, like, in this one, because I'm like, or else you got to credit this guy with describing Grace before anyone. This guy was the first person to ever describe them, right? Like, he would be. I can't think of an earlier account of someone describing Grace, Bigfoot, potentially Zell, or Mothman.
Dracula.
One of the two. Well, he had the bat wings, right? You saw him. Right, so it's, you know, I don't want to say it's 100%. It's just 100% not, didn't happen that way. It just, for me, it just doesn't make sense with the five-year-old.
Yeah, it's a very fantastic story, like fantastical story. And all of the, just the crystal clear detail of what he remembers. Not only just the original event, but the entire thing, like the days after, and then describing exactly where they took the alien and where they put it. It was like, it was a half mile away.
It's 5 years old.
I'm like, you didn't follow the car, I don't think. Like,
it's interesting that they brought the five-year-old with them to get rid of the body and shit.
I don't think they did. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think they did. He never says that he went with them. He was just saying that a car came to come pick it up. And then, I mean, parts of the story, there are little bits and whatever. But, I mean, he was interviewed by not just Richard D. Hall, but there was another guy too that was like an ex police constable, sergeant constable, and who interviewed him and found him to be, you know, at least trustworthy, probably, in a sense, being that he believed what he was saying.
Like, I have no doubt in my mind that he believes,
right,
that,
yeah,
this story wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I just think that, you know, he's never gone to some hypnotic regression or anything, and I don't think he wants to, because it's not going to produce aliens.
Yeah, it's a strange story that a lot of stuff is happening that I'm like, where are all these other kids? Like, that's what I'm saying. He describes that there were other kids there. Like, there was not just him and his friend. Like, and also, where's his friend? That's also a question. But I don't know. It's something that's kind of a one-off. It's one of those stories that it's unfortunate that we only have the singular source in Robert. Like, that's it. Like, you only have that one thing, because it sounds insane. Not him, but the story is insane. Like, you're just like, that's crazy, man. Like, what? You saw Dracula and Bigfoot hanging out with a bunch of greys, like the disco ball? Like, what?
Crazy.
And it is interesting, but it's like, and then why would the alien come back like 3 days later to chase him down in a dark alley? Like, that seems strange. Not on foot. I don't know.
Yeah. It just, I don't know.
Seems a little strange. A lot of stuff doesn't seem to kind of to line up on this story. I mean, it is, but you're like, also, yeah. Like, did you witness your uncle like straight up murder guy?
Well, if he was a pedo, good.
I know, but I'm just like, even if it's, I mean, if he wasn't a pedo, then that's even like, fuck. Just saw him kill a dude. It's always one of those things. It's like, you know, it's like those family secrets. It's like, you know, we never talk about it. It's like, yeah, my uncle fucking killed a dude, and we just never talk about it.
Yeah,
it's just a strange thing. It's just like, it's one of those strange one-off stories that it's like, it's, what did you, again, yeah, the age is kind of a thing when you say your five-year-old is seen. Well, I mean, if your five-year-old has like an imaginary friend, sure, whatever. But he's like, he saw an entire like crypto disco. Like, that's what?
Yeah.
Like, what was going on?
I don't know.
It's interesting. So it's, I don't know. 1940s England was a crazy time. Yeah. It's like the Battle of Britain was that year. Just looking it up. Like, so yeah, like Britain was getting firebombed into the ground at this point. So, seeing anything would be like, even if it was like, and then it's like, yeah, well, like, what about this soldier? Like, he shot at something. If he was there, like, I think he would have remembered. But of course, they were all marching to war, so that guy could have very well died in the war, and we just never heard about it. He saw something and then got back to his regiment or whatever, and just didn't want to talk about it or never told anybody, because it's like, yeah, that would make me look fucking crazy. Interesting. you know?
Yeah.
It's one of those things that it kind of digs out, and it's like you wanted to, they did, and I credit the UFO investigators that looked into it, like that Richard D. Hall, he did a pretty good job. Like he if oh, yeah, you ever want to look it up, like, I mean, you can look up Gateshead Gray, and I'm sure this story will be one of the few, like he has a web, and Richard D. Hall has his own website as well. And like did a pretty solid investigation, went out and talked to the people who lived around the area, trying to nail down exactly who was there and trying to figure out who it was, but they just couldn't find any leads. And for
what, well, it's just so long after the fact,
right?
Right. Like,
I think the only kind of piece that they got of corroborating evidence is that they talked to Robert's sister, and Robert's sister said that she remembered him telling the story, I believe. Like, she remembered him kind of like telling the story back then about his experience, and then when they kind of told him to like knock it off. But other than that, I mean, she didn't witness the things as well. I don't think she...
And honestly, the monster mash for me is like, it also, that puts it a little bit into the realm of... Like, he's just like, yeah. So like basically he should have just thrown all of them in.
So Loch Ness Monster was there.
Loch Nessie was there. It was the whole it was insane. Everyone was there. The who's who, because it's of like
werewolf,
there's just so many things that just had never been seen or never been described until
just a couple way later that, in the bank.
Yeah. And he's like, I've been saying this story forever. I was like, well, Bigfoot wasn't around then. So what were you saying before?
Yeah. And I also, just the fact that it's like, you got threatened with murder and then you just went around and started selling everybody. And that's why you wouldn't. And then that's why you say you wouldn't tell the stories, because you thought people would make fun of you. Not the fact that you would get murdered. You were more worried about people would make fun of you than you would get murdered.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that part sounds like a 5-year-old's lie. So. I'm not allowed to tell because I told it I'd be murdered.
Like, no, people are going to make fun of me. It's like, but these guys told you they were going to murder you. Are you worried about that? No, I'm more worried about people making fun of me. Like, what?
You also believe at that age that if you step on a crack, you're going to break your mama's back.
Yeah.
All right.
It's true. Andrew, what's your final thought on it?
I think I already kind of suggested, like, I do unfortunately think that it's a coping mechanism to mask a traumatic event that he experienced, and not necessarily saying that he was molested, but multiple, like, living in England at that time was an extremely traumatic time to be alive, yeah. Right? Like, hard shit that our generation can't even fathom. So amongst the many horrible things that could have happened at that time, this could be something that he completely fabricated. And then unfortunately, when you've been telling a lie for so long, there gets a certain part where you end up believing it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why his story's been kind of fucking perfected after this, you know, this long, is because he's been telling for so long and he wholeheartedly believes at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's taken the lie till you die to the grave.
Absolutely.
Cradle to the grave.
Anyways, let us know your thoughts in the comments of this. What do you think? Do you think that's a 5-year-old? Do you remember a ton of shit from when you were 5, or is this story possibly not what it seems? Let us know. We love you all. Thank you for listening, and keep those eyes on the skies. Peace, everybody.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.